Blog Talk Radio.
No way am I going to oil that. After Fogsbane went and made that for us just right, a perfect squeak. Good evening. Welcome. Come in to Eerie House Radio. This is Dale Kay here from Spook Show, and I'm accompanied by...
Excuse me, this is Grog Talk Radio?
No, not Grog Talk, Blog Talk.
Oh, well, in that case, I'm Dave Baker from Weirdness Really Bad Movie and Spaceship One. And here under the wire also is...
Wait, if this is Blog Talk and not Grog Talk, I think no. I've called the wrong number. It is I, Gargoyle. Wait,
That's right. Here on Eerie House Radio, where you get a sparkling drop of Retson. Hello, Fogsbane. Good old Bob, GGSI Paper, live in the chat. Thank you for joining us. Yeah, hopefully Gar will be with us for a while. I don't know. I think he's getting ready for what? Spider Baby tonight.
I'll disappear after a little while, but yes. So, well, if you're gonna kick out the Retson thing, you need to get the little ding. You know that old thing they've got?
I don't know what thing.
There you go.
No,
ding.
When they put the Retson in, there's that ding.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, when you drop that Retson in, that little ding there.
Yeah, so if you're a dingbat, it might be scary. I don't know.
No, Watchy.
Hey.
We're wrapping up our weekend with, because we're still picking up pieces of glass. It's Studio One tonight with an episode called The Glass Key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were two versions of this available to us. We perhaps will do the other one at another time. The other one was the Campbell Playhouse with Mr. Orson Welles. But I thought we'd see how Studio One played with it. I don't think we've aired a Studio One yet. Maybe we have, but I don't think we have.
Studio One was avant-garde in the fact that they gave the lead to who? Ernest Borgnine.
No, but he was an Ernest Borgnine impersonator. That's where he got confused. An Ernest Borgnine. And there aren't too many of those.
We did do The Night America Trembled back on October 30th.
But that was the television soundtrack, you see?
True. No, this is the first time then. First time on Eerie House Radio, episode of Studio One.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, and we got a full hour production tonight, and interesting story. Which means there's a whole lot of radio, but this is considered Dashiell Hammett, who created many things, and in a way, is one of the, he and Raymond Chandler are kind of the fathers of the private detective story. This was considered, even though he created The Thin Man and Nick and Nora Charles and these great characters like this, The Thin Man and The Fat Man, this is considered to be, by most people, his greatest piece of work.
And we're going to get started with it shortly here. The Glass Key, yeah, full hour. Whew, that's a lot of radio.
That's a lot of radio. And that's bad for us because we have a short attention span here at Eerie House Radio.
What were we just talking about?
Huh?
Dave,
what?
Which came first? No. The radio actor that played Matt Dillon, and I can't remember his name.
William Conrad.
Which came first, William Conrad or the Fat Man? I think you see where I'm going.
In a way, that was simultaneous.
Was it?
Yeah, in a way, but the Fat Man came in. William Conrad was around quite a bit earlier. Actually, he was around in, I'm thinking it was in the Hermit's Cave, but he was mostly kind of a producer, writer on that show, where John Daner was more of an active actor on that, because he was the, for a while, he was the old Hermit. But
according
he goes
to
back
his
to,
biography, he was round for most of his life.
Oh, yeah, he was. He was round and he was round and around for most of his life. Yes.
There you go. Yeah, I think both. Yeah.
I keep thinking of that.
Do we have an original broadcast date for this bad boy?
We do.
1486.
How about April 13th,
1948?
Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter star in The Glass Key from Studio One at CBS. Don't pretend I don't know what you're like underneath, baby, because you know I do.
I won't pretend. Not with you.
Don't mind Ned, Janet. He's always rough like this.
He doesn't mind, Madvig.
No, I don't.
We invite you to Studio One, radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, featuring the world's great novels, stories, and plays in special versions for listening. And now to introduce tonight's great story, here is the director of Studio One, Fletcher Markle.
He might be a friend of Sam Spade's. He might know the thin man and the fat man because he's a tall man himself and opposites attract. His name is Ned Beaumont, and he's a tough guy, a citizen of Dashiell Hammett's underworld of two decades ago. The Glass Key, which is Ned Beaumont's story, is one of Mr. Hammett's grimmest portraits of Prohibition times. A mordant and memorable glimpse of a period when, more often than not, bullets were ballots, and might, if not exactly right, was at least persuasive. Tonight, to head the cast of our version for listening of The Glass Key, we have with us in Studio One Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter. Mr. Baxter, who's playing Ned Beaumont for us, is by no means unfamiliar with portrayals of violence in a hard Hammett world. And though Miss Landy is not immediately associated with the type of role that is Janet Henry's in The Glass Key, there's nothing like variety for a talented actress. With Miss Landy and Mr. Baxter, you'll be hearing Everett Sloan as Paul Madvig, the story's narrator, and Charles Irving as Shadow Rory. Back to the end of the tempestuous 20s, then, and pleased to begin.
Looking back, I'd say it all began the night I made my decision about Senator Henry. We met, the senator and I, away from our usual haunts. Both of us were being careful. Both of us wanted to feel the other out. Yes, I'd say that was the beginning, when I had that talk with Senator Henry.
What was that again, Madvig?
If I support you for re-election, Senator Henry, it means the entire city machine will be in back of you.
I know that, Madvig.
It means you'll be reelected.
I expect it does. And I'm willing to do anything.
There's nothing you can do for me, Senator. At least not at the moment.
You want something, Madvig. What is it?
It isn't money, you can be sure of that.
Then what is it?
We'll talk about it later.
What about your man, Beaumont?
Ned?
Yes. What will he say when he hears about this, about your supporting me?
I'll handle Ned.
You are supporting me, aren't you, Madvig?
Yes, Senator. I'm supporting you all the way. I wasn't entirely sure myself how I'd handle Ned Beaumont. Ned wasn't an easy guy to handle. Of course, the papers played up the fact that I was coming out for Senator Henry. After all, I was the mayor. Ned Beaumont read the headlines the next afternoon. Mayor Madvig supports Senator Henry for re-election. City machine endorses action. I knew that'd bring Ned to my office, and it certainly did.
Listen, Madvig.
Hello there, Ned. How are you?
Lousy. What kind of a politician do you think you are?
Here it comes. You know, Ned, the reason I have you as my advisor is so that any time I get thinking I understand politics, you can slap me down.
Yes, and I'm always right. Are you supporting Senator Henry?
Yes.
Why, Paul, why?
Because with his help, we can put over the whole ticket just like nobody was running against us.
Sure, but without your help, could the senator make the grade this time?
Not a chance.
Throw him down, Madvig. Sink him. Bury him.
Nope.
Yes. Up until now, the senator's never been beaten at anything in his life.
Sure, and that's one of the best reasons for throwing in with him.
It's the very worst reason for throwing in with him. Think that over, even if it hurts your head.
Yeah, it's too deep for me.
Look, the senator's respectable. You're not. He can't back you unless you change your stripes. You're going to have to become respectable, too, all of a sudden.
Oh, Ned.
I don't care what you do with your social life, provided it doesn't lose you votes. But in the conduct of office, as the newspaper boys say, you've got to be a regular guy. And the senator won't let you be. Couldn't be associated with you if you were.
He's associated with me because he'll lose the election if I don't back him.
Sure. But with him behind you, you won't be able to run City Hall the way you've always run it up to now. A job here, a buck there. Either the senator will make you respectable, in which case you won't ever win another election, or to square himself with his own silk stocking crowd, he'll expose you. And you don't win any more elections that way either.
Ned, look, this is one time I can't take your advice. We're supporting Senator Henry, and that's that.
That's that, huh? Has the senator's happy blonde daughter got anything to do with this?
You wouldn't talk that way about her, Ned.
So?
I'm going there to dinner tomorrow night.
Madvig, if the senator didn't need your support in the election, do you think you'd be going there to dinner?
I'm going to marry Janet Henry.
Oh-ho! Is that part of the bargain?
Nobody knows it yet, except you and me.
Well, if you want to marry Janet Henry, make them put it in writing and post a cash bond. Or better still, insist on the wedding before Election Day.
Ned, I don't know why you keep talking about the senator and his daughter as if they were yeggs. They're aristocrats. Like a drink?
I ain't a camel. What about young Taylor Henry, Janet's brother? Is he an aristocrat, too? You made your daughter stop playing around with him, didn't you?
Well, of course I did. Taylor Henry's a no-good playboy. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, how's it going to work out if you marry his sister and he's your daughter's uncle-in-law or something?
Oh, Ned.
Will that entitle Taylor Henry to begin playing around with Opal again?
Ned, if Taylor Henry's a heel, which he is, and I break up something between him and Opal, that's none of your business.
Tomorrow night's your first dinner there?
Yes.
I don't like you supporting Senator Henry for re-election. And I don't like his daughter.
Look, Ned, you haven't even met Janet Henry.
I've seen her picture. I know the breed. Thoroughbred. I like mongrels.
Do this for me, Ned. At least talk to her before you judge her. Come on over to the Speak and have cocktails with us.
When?
Now. I've got a date with her.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, now, cut the kidding, Ned. Look, she's curious about you.
Sure. I suppose she wants to pin me to the trophy board with all the other curious specimens.
Now, Ned, listen. She just heard a lot about you. I've been bragging about you. Why shouldn't she be curious?
I'm kind of curious about her, too, in a certain nasty sort of way.
Look, I've got this cocktail date with her. What do you say?
Okay. We'll go to the Speak and have cocktails with a fancy blonde, and we'll all order pink ladies.
Will you have the same again, Mr. Madvig?
Yes, please. Well, what do you two think of each other? Hmm?
I think Mr. Beaumont's a fairly reasonable facsimile of a tough guy.
Thank you, Miss Henry. You're quite a surprise to me. I think you're miscast.
What do you mean?
Miscast as a senator's daughter.
Oh, Ned.
That's all right. He's being complimentary.
You're graceful, sure. But not graceful the way they taught you at Miss Somebody's school. Graceful the way a dirty little kid gets graceful, dodging cars on the city streets. Graceful like an animal.
Why, thank you, Mr. Beaumont.
Don't say it that way. That's Miss Somebody's school talking. Don't pretend I don't know what you're like underneath, because you know I do.
I won't pretend. Not with you.
Oh, don't mind Ned. Janet, he's always rough like this.
She doesn't mind, Madvig.
No, I don't.
He's a rough baby herself. I don't know where your Miss Henry learned it, Madvig, but she's just like you and me. I know. I can tell my own breed when I meet it. She knows the world's a jungle, and you got to claw and kick and bite. I like that.
Oh, you're a great kidder, Ned. Don't be offended, Janet.
I like the way Mr. Beaumont kids.
I knew you two would get along.
Paul, do you suppose we could persuade Mr. Beaumont to join us at dinner tomorrow night?
Why, sure. That's a wonderful idea. What do you say, Ned?
Well,
please, I really want you to come.
I know that, but Thanks, no, I can't make it.
No, Ned. Here you and Miss Henry have cottoned to each other so well, and we're all three of us friends now. Come on, Ned.
Sorry, I've got a date.
You can break it.
You can't break a date with your conscience, Madvig.
Janet, that's the way this guy is. You can't understand him half the time.
Oh, I understand him all right.
Hello. And whoever it is, it's 4 a.m.
Madvig?
Yes?
Ned, you went to Senator Henry's tonight, didn't you?
You know I did. Now listen, let me get some
was
sleep.
Was young Taylor Henry there tonight?
Yes, what of it?
You fight with him?
Well, what if I did?
Just that Taylor Henry's lying dead in the gutter up the street from your house.
Tell me about it tomorrow morning.
He was murdered, Madvig.
Tell me about it tomorrow morning.
I found the body. The police don't know it yet. I just wanted to be sure you were in the clear before I called them.
Go ahead and call the police, Ned. They got their jobs from me, didn't they?
I don't know a thing, except what I've already told you.
How did you happen to find Taylor Henry's body?
I just happened to, that's all.
Where were you going at that hour of the night?
I was on my way to see a sick friend.
Why didn't you phone the police right away?
I had to call my lawyer first.
Did you know Taylor Henry?
Everybody knew Taylor Henry.
I guess Ned Beaumont had a pretty bad night. But the cops didn't give him a real working over because, after all, Ned was my boy. They didn't dare muss up the mayor's boy. So they didn't get very much out of Ned. He wasn't talking because he wanted to protect me. When the cops released him the next day, he headed straight for my office.
Let's get a few things cleared up, Paul, and fast.
You think I had something to do with killing Senator Henry's son, is that it? The very day I come out and back the senator for re-election? Really, Ned?
Okay, Paul, but everybody knows you don't or didn't like Taylor Henry.
Well, neither did anybody else.
Look, Paul, I'm not trying to accuse you of anything. That's not it. All I want to know is, was Taylor Henry at the Henry home last night, and what time did he leave, and did you hear him say where he was going or who he was going to meet? That kind of thing.
Well, what do you want to ask me questions like that for?
Well, it'd do us good just before election if our cops solved this murder.
I'm not a cop.
You appoint the cops.
I don't want to discuss it, Ned.
What do you mean you don't want to discuss it?
I've got enough on my mind.
Such as?
Opal's sick.
If your daughter's a little under the weather, I don't know why that should get you down.
Well, the thing is, she isn't really sick.
Fine. She's sick, she isn't sick. I like that. No politician could get anywhere if he tried being consistent.
Don't make jokes, Ned. She says she's sick, but she isn't really. She's refusing to eat and staying in her room and... Oh, I don't know.
She's probably mourning Taylor Henry.
Now, you know that was all over long ago.
Don't get sore, Paul.
I broke that up, and she hasn't seen him since. You know that.
Okay, okay. But something's biting her. Want me to have a look-see?
Yeah, I wish you would. You handle her better than I do.
Okay, is she in her room?
Yeah.
I'll go see her.
Come in.
Hello, Opal.
Oh, Ned, it's you.
I'm sorry to see you in bed this way, Opal. Madvig tells me you have a headache.
Yeah, that's right.
Madvig's a smart guy, but he doesn't know his daughter the way I do. I don't think it's a headache, Opal. Mind if I sit down?
I wish you would.
I know, youngster. I know how you feel. It's tough.
Oh, no, really. I'm not very sick any longer.
So, I'm an outsider now.
I don't know what you mean, Ned.
I mean Taylor Henry.
Oh, yes, but Ned, I haven't seen him for months. Not since Dad made me stop.
All right, I'm an outsider. I'll leave.
No, Ned. Ned, come back.
Well, how long since you saw Taylor?
Oh, Ned, don't make it so hard for me. We're friends, Ned, aren't we?
Sure, but it's hard to remember that when we're lying to each other.
Did you know that I've been meeting Taylor?
Yeah.
Did Dad know it?
Madvig is blind where you're concerned.
Oh, Ned, I was with him only yesterday afternoon. All afternoon. And then last night...
Take it easy, Snip.
Oh, Ned, who could have done it to him?
Take it easy. Now, how was he yesterday afternoon?
What do you mean?
Did you quarrel with him?
I never quarreled with Taylor.
You're sure? Nobody ever saw you quarrel with him?
Ned, what are you driving at?
You might be a suspect, Opal.
Oh, no. What's
you may as well face it.
Do you suspect me, Ned?
I'm a tired old man of 35. I suspect everybody.
I see, Ned. I see what you're getting at.
That's so? What am I getting at?
You know who killed him.
Do I?
Yes. Yes, you know who killed him. And you're trying to protect...
You mean I'm trying to pin it on you to protect someone else?
On me or someone... Anyone, so long as the murder isn't found out?
I'd do that to you, Snip.
You'd do that to anybody to protect...
To protect who?
You know who. And I know who. And you won't stop me now that I do know. And you won't stop me from putting him in jail.
Uh-oh. The plot is just getting to get thick here with three more parts of Studio One's The Glass Key coming up.
Yep. Just a little bit on Studio One. On April 29th, 1947, Fletcher Markle launched the 60-minute CBS radio series with the adaptation of Malcolm Lowry's Under the Volcano, broadcast on Tuesdays opposite Bill McGee and Molly and The Bob Hope Show at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. The radio series continued until July 27th, 1948, and showcasing really what they did is showcased classic program of stories like Dodsworth, Pride and Prejudice, Red Badge of Courage, Our Wilderness, and had great actors on like John Garfield, Walter Huston, Mercedes McCambridge, Burgess Meredith, Robert Mitchum. You have Everett Sloan tonight. And you could hear his voice as Medvedik, just a really, really cool era. At 48, he took it to television, and it stayed there for two or three seasons. And it was just a tremendous series of programs. So, using classics, and again, this being one of many people think the finest work that Dashiell Hammett did, The Glass Key, which I'll talk about that a little bit in yet another segment.
Another segment.
My drawback, my pull away from this so far is my favorite quote is when offered a beverage, you go, "What am I, a camel?"
I'm no camel.
I'm no camel.
But I'd walk a mile for one.
Uh-huh. I may smoke them, but I'm not a camel.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, you know who it is, and I know who it is. Who is it, like Santa Claus? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
You know who it is, and I know who it is.
You know who. You
I
know.
Who.
You
I know.
Know.
You know.
I know. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that means.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Uh-huh. Actually, I when I'm actually confronted with something like that, I don't know. And I always go, no, I don't know. And typically it's an argument of some type, and it's like, no, I don't. You tell me. I got nothing. I got no context, nothing.
Well, you know, that's what why I was never good in science, because in science, that we're doing this control experiment. You know what's supposed to happen with this? That, no, I don't know.
I got nothing.
That's why you do the, that's why you do the experiment,
yeah.
Right? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. The only drawback from that is, like, if you're in some type of a debate and someone says that, I have no idea what you know and I don't know. You tell me.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't like arguments. I'm not there. Not anymore.
Yeah.
Any
yeah.
of you guys yeah. on a debate team ever?
A long time ago. It's been a long
time.
Sort
of, yeah.
What I liked about debate team was they had rules, right?
Well, they should.
Well, I mean, you don't show up with like a 2x4 and go, "I'm right. Debate me." You know, I mean.
Yeah, that'd be a short debate.
Yeah.
I see your point. There's a lot of logic in what you say. Just don't hit me with the bat.
Walking Paul. I'm right, aren't I?
Uh-huh.
All day long, brother.
Well, you know what? The high school debate is ridiculous because basically when we got up and did ours, you know, it was basically people getting up there and spouting off speed reading facts. And that was all that they weren't debating. They were just speed reading facts.
Right.
You know, that's not a debate.
No, if you disprove the fact right then and there, that's defying and reinventing the scientific method right there.
But in their 2 minutes, if they threw in 50 facts in 2 minutes and you couldn't even catch them all, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
I think at one point I followed some gal who did something like that, and I got up and said, "Man, did you catch the number of that train that went by?" You know.
and in high school, you couldn't just stand up and go, "I call beep." You know, you can't. You know, you can't do that.
Some have tried.
Some have tried, and then you know,
some have
then
tried.
They got the buzzer. Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right,
and
in the back
just
of
talking to them. It's like, but they were full of whatever. Gee, Wally, why'd you do that?
Stop it.
Oh,
Don't you.
Nope. I think Dave started that, actually. That was not me.
I didn't think I started it. I didn't think I started it.
I'm going to start part two of... I am going to start part two of Studio One. All these teams to slug it out. We'll be back.
Well, you Ned Beaumont?
Yeah.
I'm Harry Ferris.
Ferris.
Highway Maintenance Department.
Oh, yeah. I remember when Madvig gave you the job. How's the boy? Come on in.
Thanks.
Sit down. What's on your mind?
Well, it's about Madvig. You know the night Taylor Henry was killed?
Yeah.
Well, earlier that night, Ben Sloss and I were driving past the place where you found his body.
Yeah?
That's right. And,
go ahead.
Well, we saw Taylor Henry and Madvig standing there arguing.
You're sure it was Madvig?
Yeah.
You're sure it was Taylor Henry?
Uh-huh.
How could you tell they were arguing?
Well, you know, sometimes you can tell if people are arguing by the way they stand.
Yeah, if one is standing on the other's face.
Listen, this is on the level. I wanted to see you because Ben is going to the DA about it.
How much, Harry?
Huh?
I said how much. How much do you want to tell the DA it was too dark to see who the men were?
I don't want to
Come on, Harry. That's what you came here for, isn't it? You know I'm Madvig's man. You know I wouldn't let him get hooked. Come on, drop the act.
I understand. I like Madvig. I wouldn't throw him down. He gave me my job. I owe everything to Madvig, but...
How much?
Well... $10,000?
Hello, Farr.
Oh, Beaumont. I told the girl to have you wait.
That's funny.
What is?
Well, you're district attorney, Farr, but I never had to wait to see you before. For that matter, I never before got a call from one of your flunkies asking me all official-like to come in here.
What are you talking about, Ned?
I'm thinking you see a little handwriting on the wall, Farr. I'm thinking you've heard from a fellow named Ben Sloss that Paul Madvig and Taylor Henry quarreled the night young Henry was killed. I'm thinking that you're thinking it's getting safe to be impolite to a Madvig man like me.
Now, Ned, look, you know I'm a Madvig man myself.
Well, I know he put you in as district attorney.
I haven't forgotten that, but, well, there are some peculiar circumstances in the killing of Taylor Henry.
Then you have talked to Sloss.
Yes.
Is that what you called me in here for?
That's right, Ned, and there's one other thing. I've received a letter.
A letter? Who wrote it?
That's anonymous. Here, have a look.
Ah. Dear Mr. District Attorney, why do you not question Paul Madvig when it is well known that he hated Taylor Henry? Why do you not question Ned Beaumont, who was a henchman of Paul Madvig's and who found Taylor Henry's body? Why do you not realize that Madvig killed Taylor Henry and that Beaumont is lying to save him?
That's the third one of those we've got, Ned.
What are you going to do about it?
Well, Ned, election is coming on, you know, and I think I ought to clean up the Taylor Henry killing.
Do you?
Of course, you know, if you or if Madvig... Well, I mean, if there's any reason why I shouldn't, we can let it go at that.
No, Farr, there isn't any reason. Madvig didn't kill Taylor Henry. I wouldn't like a guy like you who owes everything to Madvig to go around thinking he did.
Well, I'm awfully relieved to hear that, Ned. I'm going to solve this Taylor Henry killing.
You mean you're going to try? But I'm the guy that's going to solve it, Farr.
Chad.
Yeah, Whiskey?
I got some.
Bad?
Good.
All right, let's go in the back room, Whiskey. Okay, Whiskey. What is it?
Read this. It came for you in this afternoon's mail.
Dear Mr. O'Rourke, if you want to win the election, why don't you look into the fact that Paul Madvig hated Taylor Henry? Madvig fought with Henry the night of the murder.
How about that?
Ned Beaumont found Taylor Henry's body. Ned Beaumont is Paul Madvig's henchman. Couldn't you win an election with that information?
Good, but...
It's what we've been waiting for, Whiskey. Here's where we hang one on Madvig and Beaumont, too.
Hello.
Beaumont?
Yeah.
Whiskey. Shed O'Rourke wants to see you.
Invitations, huh? Sorry, I'm out to lunch.
You better come over and see him.
Name one reason.
Madvig's gonna burn for Taylor Henry's murder. If you don't want that to happen to him, come over and see Shed.
Beaumont. Came.
Yeah.
I wanted you here, Ned, because I don't like to see you get hurt.
I don't hurt very easily.
In an electric chair, you would. Now, mind you, Beaumont, I don't think you killed Taylor Henry.
Thank you, sir.
But Paul Madvig was fighting with Henry the night of the murder, and you found the body. What I do think is that Madvig killed him, and that you are an accessory after the fact.
Well, why talk to me about it? Why not turn Madvig and me into the police?
You and I both know the police in this town aren't going to do anything to hurt Boss Madvig.
Maybe not.
And I don't care, anyhow. Madvig can kill whoever he wants. I don't care. All I care about is winning the election. I could win it if I gave the facts about the murder of Taylor Henry to the Daily Observer.
Why don't you?
Well, look at what would happen. Madvig would get convicted.
You're pretty sure of yourself.
Madvig would get convicted, but you'd get off. You're too smart in the first place. And they haven't really got anything on you in the second place. And everybody would sympathize with you in the third place, trying to protect your friend. Oh, you'd get off. And you'd be my enemy.
Go ahead, Shad. I guess it only sounds like hot air. You must have a meaning there somewhere.
You're tooting well right I got a meaning. I don't want you as my enemy. I've watched you run Madvig. You're the smartest guy that's come down the pike in my lifetime. I want you for my friend. I want you to work for me the way you worked for Madvig.
It happens I'm a friend of Madvig's.
And it happens that I can send Madvig to the electric chair. Now, if you're his friend, you can save him from that.
Yeah? How?
You ought to know a lot about Madvig that I can use in this campaign.
Oh?
I won't go to the public with all the stuff I have about the murder if you'll spill all the political dirt to a reporter I know on the Observer.
You haven't made any sense yet, Shed.
I told you, I want you to work for me. That's what I get out of this. And you save your best friend from the chair.
You've tipped your mitt, Shed. You haven't got enough on Madvig for the murder. You've just learned enough to know you could make me listen. But you're bluffing. You couldn't hurt Madvig.
Suppose I couldn't. Think of it as a bribe if you want to. We're all grown-up boys. Ned, we know how these things work. There's 10 grand in it for you.
10 more election night if you win.
Sold.
All right. I'll go over to my place right now and write it up.
It would be better here.
Sorry, but I'm expecting some phone calls and things. I'm going.
No.
Yes.
Rusty. Rusty.
You want me, boss?
Yes, Rusty. Mr. Beaumont here says he's going home. I say he ain't.
Then he ain't.
Okay, you ready to sing?
No.
I like this. I like bouncing you around. Ready to sing?
No.
Well, I guess I'll have time for a smoke before he comes to. You know what, Beaumont? You're a wise guy. You was never going to tell Shad a thing. No, you don't. You don't fall over. I'll hold you up, old Patsy. I'll hold you up. You was never going to tell. You just made out like you was to see what you could learn. A wise guy, that's what you was. You was going to sneak home, huh? Tell Madwick, huh? Well, what we do to wise guys, we keep them right here. Well, I guess I won't hold on to you anymore. You can go free, pal. Yeah, Whiskey?
Rusty says Ned Beaumont ought to come too any minute.
Again? Come on, let's go upstairs and make him talk this time. Beaumont, let's go to bed.
Hey, where is he?
I'm a monkey's uncle. He was here, boy.
Well, for the window's open.
Hey, can you beat it? The guy dropped 2 whole stories in his condition.
Maybe he didn't like me, huh?
Now, come on, let's get down there. Maybe he's still around. No sign of him.
He couldn't have gotten far.
He sure couldn't. Well, whatever he did, he's gone. I'll miss him.
Hey, cop.
Good evening, Mr. O'Rourke.
Oh, good evening, officer.
Looking for something?
I know.
Or for somebody?
Why do you ask that, officer?
I just wondered. I found a poor fellow all beat up, crawling along the sidewalk on all fours. I put him in an ambulance. There was quite a lot of blood.
Well, I don't know anything about it. I'm glad he ain't here now. I can't stand a sight of blood.
They'd really given Ned a going over. He was a mess of blood and bruises when the cops found him unconscious in the gutter. I don't think he remembered much of what they'd done to him. He was too far out for that. I'll never know how he got the strength to pull himself to that window and drop down those 2 floors and crawl along the street. Even Ned didn't remember much of it. In fact, he didn't remember a thing until he opened his eyes quite a while later and found a strange girl bending over him.
Take it easy. Easy does it. Steady now, steady.
Oh, yes, you said it.
You're in St. Luke's Hospital, Mr. Beaumont.
Hospital?
Yes, I'm your nurse.
What day is it?
Monday.
How long have I been here?
Well, this is your third day.
Where's the telephone?
Oh, stop that. You can't use the telephone, and you mustn't get yourself excited.
You use it, then. Call Filmer 9970 and tell Mr. Madvig. I can see him right away.
You've seen Mr. Madvig. When you were admitted here, you wouldn't let us put you to bed until you'd talk to him. Look, do you feel up to meeting a lady?
Who is it?
Miss Janet Henry.
Janet Henry?
Hmm?
I had to come to see you. I hope you don't mind.
I'm glad, I guess.
If you'll excuse me.
How are you feeling?
Pull up a chair.
Paul Madvig told me what happened to you.
What did he say?
But you let yourself be almost killed rather than tell certain things about him.
That's the way I feel about Madvig.
Yes, I...
You're what?
I think it's wonderful.
No, you don't. You think it's very peculiar.
Please.
That's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Call me Ned.
All right.
We can't fool each other, Janet.
No.
You know what I did for Madvig?
I know. I just told you I knew.
I don't mean that. I mean, I refused an invitation to your house.
Oh.
That's the way it is, Janet.
I see. All right.
Tell me something. When I saw Madvig after I got beaten up, did I let him know they were going to turn the Observer loose on him?
Yes, you did.
Was he able to do anything about it?
Apparently not. They're printing things now.
Connecting him with the murder of your brother?
Ned, please.
Connecting him with the murder of your brother?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
Ned, you said the first time I met you that I had the same idea you had, that life was a struggle, that you had to kick and claw and fight. I thought then I knew what you meant. I didn't think you meant anything as nasty as what you're doing to me now.
Or as nasty as what you're doing to Madvig.
Why don't you like me?
Because I... I'm afraid maybe I do like you.
Good. I want you to.
Yeah? Because it would be easier to handle me that way?
Certainly not.
Because you could get in some real kicking and clawing on Madvig if I liked you so much that I wouldn't try to stop you?
Don't you dare talk that way to me.
You don't like it?
I don't.
Okay. There's the door over there. I don't think it's locked.
Goodbye.
Better luck next time.
We'll see.
Heavy guy catching that gal trying to pull one over on him.
That's what gals do, right? Sometimes.
In these type of stories, yeah.
Yeah. Samuel Dashiell Hammett was an American author of hard-boiled detective novels and short stories. He was also a screenwriter, political activist, among enduring characters who created Sam Spade, for the Mounties Falcon, Nicanora Charles, the Thin Man, the Continental OP, Red Harvest and the Dane Curse, and the comic strip character, Secret Agent X-9. He's Hammett's now, there you go, Hammett's now widely regarded as one of the finest mystery writers of all time. In his obituary in the New York Times, he was described as the dean of the hard-boiled school of detective fiction. Time included Hammett's 1929 novel Red Harvest and its list of 100 best English language novels published between 1923 and 2005. In 1990, the Crime Writers Association picked 3 of the 5 of his novels for their top 100 crime novels of all time. 5 years later, 4 out of 5 of his novels made the top 100 mystery novels of all time, as selected by the Mystery Writers of America. So his novel stories also had significant influence on films, including the genres of private eye detective fiction, the mystery thrillers, and film noir. And this is kind of like a radio noir story here today.
It absolutely is.
Very, 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 very well done.
Noir. It's so dark, it can't see.
That is a problem, yeah.
Yep.
But if it were any lighter, you might not want to see it. That's the thing.
Radio noir.
Yes.
Yeah.
Radio
why not?
Noir.
This okay. is very much like a noir movie. Yeah.
I think it's catchy.
Okay.
Radio is what we do here. Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Why
let's
not
do some
indeed.
More with part 3 of The Glass Key from Studio One.
From Studio One, radio celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment, you are hearing Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter starring in The Glass Key, a version for listening by Robert Sanadella of the Dashiell Hammett novel. Studio One will resume after the customary pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. From Studio One, we continue tonight's full-hour dramatic entertainment. Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter star in Fletcher Markle's production of The Glass Key by Dashiell Hammett. Any relation between the political methods employed in this story and those of the present day is quite improbable.
Ned.
How's the boy, Jack?
Fine. These hospital people say that you're coming along all right.
I was, until the nurse told me you were coming in.
Why? Don't you like visitors?
It's bad for my heart to get a visit from a city detective.
Mind if I sit down anyway?
Oh, pull up a chair.
I wanted to see you first. Ned, I've got something you'll be interested in.
Give.
The DA assigned me to the Taylor Henry killing. I've been trying to trace those anonymous letters.
And have you?
Looks like those things were written by Madvig's daughter, Opal.
What makes it look like that?
Here are two letters. One of them the DA got through the mail. Can you tell which?
Look the same to me.
There's no difference. I wrote the other one on Charter Street where Taylor Henry had a room. I wrote it on a typewriter that was there and on paper that was there. Only two people knew about the place. Taylor Henry and Madvig's daughter.
Thanks for telling me this, Jack.
There's more.
All right, give.
It looks like Opal Madvig's the one who's been handing the Observer most of its material. She's been around with Matthews, the publisher, all day today. Just before I came in here, Matthews and Mrs. Matthews brought her out to their summer place.
Yeah, looks like the Observer will be loaded with dynamite tomorrow. Where's the Matthews summer place?
Out on the lake, the other side of the hill.
Do me a favor, Jack.
Sure, Ned, anything.
Goodwill Garage, Exchange and Congress Streets. Tell Harry to get a car ready for me. I'll be in for it later.
You're sick. You can't get out of this hospital.
Sure I can. But to do it, I'll probably have to wrestle with that nurse. Hey, not a bad idea.
Ned was heading for the Matthews summer place. He was a shrewd fellow, but so was my daughter in her own way. Opal was there ahead of him, talking to Matthews.
But they can't stay here, Mr. Matthews. Ned Beaumont will be getting out of the hospital. He'll start looking for both of them.
Yes, Opal, I suppose you're right.
Hide them someplace else, O'Rory and Rusty, where Beaumont can't get to them.
I have a hideaway no one knows about.
You've got to put them where Beaumont can't find them.
Very well, my dear. You go into the living room and stay with my wife. I'll tend to the others. They'll be on their way in 5 minutes.
Opal.
Yes, Mrs. Matthews?
Look out there on the drive. My husband's putting those two men in the station wagon. Why won't he tell me who they are?
Does it make any difference?
I don't like them, Opal, and I don't like to see my husband mixed up with such people.
Your husband is a newspaper publisher, Mrs. Matthews. He's in a position to do a lot of good.
I know that.
Sometimes to do good you may have to, well...
May have to do what, Opal?
Things that some people wouldn't understand. Things that, well, that seem nasty.
If they only seem nasty, it's all right.
Well, they've gone.
Mr. Matthews... Why don't you tell your wife what a splendid thing you're doing?
Yes, Hal. What is all this?
Well, I... Look, Eloise, I don't like to worry you about business matters.
Looks as though my husband isn't certain he's doing a splendid thing. Oh, fine. More visitors.
I'm not expecting anybody.
Will you see who it is, Opal? I want to talk to Hal.
All right.
Eloise, my dear, please, listen.
No, Hal, I don't want to listen yet. Hal, I just want to remind you of what you were. You remember when you first took control of the Observer?
Yes.
We were going to build a shining and wonderful career. You were going to run a paper with dignity and integrity. We were going to fight for truth and justice and cleanliness.
Eloise, I still want to
well,
do
why
that.
Why have you shut me out then? You used to tell me everything. We used to plan together.
It's because I love you.
I don't understand that.
Eloise, you're everything to me. Everything I do is for you.
When you print scandal in the Observer, is that for me?
I tried to keep him out, Mr. Matthews.
Hello, Matthews.
Why, Beaumont.
My car broke down. I was quite sure you'd give me shelter, Matthews.
But now, see here.
Of course we'll give him shelter, Hal. Sit down, Mr. Beaumont.
Thank you. Mrs. Matthews, isn't it?
Yes.
But Mrs. Matthews, his car isn't really broken down.
That's right, Opal. My car isn't really broken down.
Now, see here, Beaumont.
Mr. Beaumont, do you mean you're here on the same mysterious business as those other men?
What other men?
Don't tell him anything, Mrs. Matthews. He's against us.
What other men, Mrs. Matthews?
One was called Shad, one was called Rusty.
Oh. Well, that'll be Shad O'Rory, political boss and gangster, Mrs. Matthews. Rusty is the handsome guy he hires to kill people for him.
You're joking.
Hardly, Mrs. Matthews.
Beaumont, you will leave my house.
Yes, put him out.
Do you want me to tell you what's going on, Mrs. Matthews?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I want to know.
Opal thinks her father murdered Taylor Henry.
Ned,
and
don't.
And thinking that, Mrs. Matthews, Opal went to your husband after she saw the junk he'd been printing. Of course, your husband doesn't think that Madvig has done any killing. Your husband is just in a tough spot. You see, his mortgages are held by the State Central, which is owned by Shad's candidate for the Senate. So your husband has to do what he's told.
Now, wait a minute, Beaumont. You can't...
Let him talk, Hal.
Thanks, Mrs. Matthews. You see, your husband is simply throwing mud wherever Shad O'Rory tells him to throw it. He can't make an outright accusation, but he can come out tomorrow with a headline, Opal Madvig accuses father of murder of Senator's son.
He did murder him.
Hal, is what Mr. Beaumont says true?
Darling, we're just insisting that the police question
Madvig. I don't mean that.
Well, when Opal came to see me, I saw an opportunity to point out that Madvig...
Oh, no, Hal. Is this what's happened to our dream? Our fine, decent, truth-telling, dignified newspaper of gutter sheet? Run by a man who knuckles under to cheap politicians?
Eloise, listen.
We're through, Hal. And I don't mean for a while. I mean for good.
Eloise, everything we've had, everything we've meant to each other...
is over.
Listen to me, darling. I...
Well?
Nothing. Nothing. I'll go now. Only I want you to know I love you, Eloise. I want you to know I love you.
Ned, you're cruel.
I'm cruel. You can say that, Snip.
You don't know what Mrs. Matthews means to her husband.
Doesn't look to me as if I meant as much to him as Shad O'Rory does.
Mrs. Matthews, you need a drink.
Yes, it's over there. It's... What?
What was that?
The other room. Come on.
Hal. Hal, darling. Oh, listen to me.
Better get her out of here, Opal.
No, Hal. Oh, God, what have I done to you? Hal!
Hello, Madvig.
What is it?
Matthews just committed suicide.
Where did it happen?
His place on the lake.
Why are you calling me?
I wanted you to know he didn't leave a will.
Oh?
It'll be up to the court to appoint somebody to administer the estate.
So it will.
Couldn't you see to it that it comes up before the right judge so we can keep the newspaper on our side until after election?
Sure, I think that can be arranged.
That's only part of it. The Observer's going to be loaded with dynamite tomorrow morning.
Yes?
You better get some judge out of bed. Get an injunction to stop the paper until you can show the Observer's staff where they stand.
How can you be so sure that Matthews didn't leave a will?
I was there when he killed himself. He wrote out a will, left it on the desk. But somehow, it got burned.
Oh, hello there, Ned.
Madvig. Campaign isn't going so well.
All right, let's have the bad news.
McLaughlin, third precinct leader. He won't deliver his votes.
Well, we can do without them.
Maybe.
Pessimistic?
It all depends.
On what?
On whether Taylor Henry's killing is cleared up.
What are you talking about? We've got the Observer on our side now.
We got it on our side too late. If that killing isn't cleared up, you'll be sunk whoever wins the election.
Will I?
Practically everybody in town thinks you killed young Henry.
Do they?
You're not too busy. I'm not just taking up your valuable time with my nonsense.
I'm listening to you, Ned. You always talk sense.
Thanks. Now listen, why do you suppose McLaughlin's turned you down? Because he figures you're licked. He figures that people won't elect your candidates when they're letting you get away with murder.
You think I'm licked, Ned?
You probably are.
All right, what can I do about it?
Clear up the murder.
No, that won't do. Think up something else.
There isn't anything else. Want me to work on it, Madvig? I have a pretty good idea who killed Taylor Henry.
No, Ned, no. Lay off it.
Why?
Because I killed him, Ned.
Yeah? I'm sorry about that.
And it was an accident. He ran down the street and came after me with a cane. I grabbed it away from him, and somehow I hit him on the head with it. He fell back, his hat rolled into the gutter, and he smashed his head against the curb.
There was no hat there when I found him.
Well, he had one on.
What did you do with the cane?
I took it away under my overcoat and burned it.
Ah. You gummed things up plenty, keeping quiet all this time. You had a clear self-defense plea.
Yes, I know, but I didn't want that, Ned. I want Janet Henry more than I ever wanted anything in my life. And what chance would I have if...
What chance have you got with her now?
What do you mean?
Wake up, Madvig. Figure things out. There's a lot of talk in town connecting you with the murder. Don't you suppose she's heard it? Don't you think she figures you killed her brother? She hates you, and she's always hated you, Madvig.
Ned, I warn you.
She's strung along with you to win an election for her old man, but she hates your guts.
That's enough. Get out. This is the kiss-off, you heel.
I'll get out when I've finished talking.
You'll get out now. You haven't said anything I believe. And you never will.
Okay, Madvig.
Well, that's the way things happen. They sing about it in songs, cheap songs. How two friends break up because of a woman. I knew that Ned Beaumont could do several things. He might pack his bags and get out of town, or he might be so sore at me that he'd throw in with Shad or Rory. Well, he did none of these things. Instead, he phoned Janet Henry and asked her to come up to his apartment.
I'm not quite sure why I'm here.
You're here because I asked you to come.
I could take that as an insult.
Don't be the finishing school babe with me. You and I are just alike, and you know it. You came because there's something between us. We haven't said anything about it, but it's there.
Please.
Am I wrong?
No. No, Ned, you're right. But, well, let's leave this alone, this thing that's between us.
Okay.
Why did you want to see me?
Partly because you're you and I'm me. Partly it was about Madvig.
Stick to that, please. I understood you weren't working for him any longer.
That's right. But I can talk to you about him, can't I?
No. You did that once. I didn't like it.
Now, just listen to me and then leave if you want. Your father wanted you to be polite to Madvig, bring him along so he could get Madvig's political backing, right?
I'm not listening to you.
Okay, I'll talk to the wall. I figure you were willing to play along. I figure you didn't like it. You didn't like Madvig, but you obeyed your old man. That was okay. Distasteful, but okay, until someone killed your brother and you decided it was Madvig. Then, it was too much. Am I boring you?
I'm not listening.
We need each other, Janet. You hate Madvig?
Suppose I do. What about you?
Figure it out. He kicked me out of the organization, didn't he?
You hate him?
I hate him.
What are you getting at, Ned?
Just this. You and I are going to pool forces and see that Paul Madvig hangs for the murder of your brother. Are you listening now?
I'm listening, Ned. Go on.
The local political campaign is entering its final week, and the smart money begins to see the candidates of Boss Shadow Rory triumphing over the candidates of Boss Paul Madvig.
Nah, listen to that.
This reverses the prognostications earlier in the campaign when Madvig and Senator Henry merged their local and national campaign. One by one, Madvig's supporters are leaving, the latest and probably most important exodus from the Madvig political camp being that of Ned Beaumont, reportedly the brains behind the Madvig political machine. It will be interesting to see how Madvig...
Garbage.
Don't you like to hear your name on the radio, Ned?
Not when it's used that way.
I thought you hated Paul Madvig.
Yeah, but I'm pretty new at it. I forget sometimes.
Well, let's get on to cases, Ned. If Madvig really told you he killed my brother...
He did. It's no good. There'd be his word against mine.
Then what can we do?
Well, I've been thinking of that. Can you check to see if your brother's hats are all accounted for?
I suppose so. Why?
And look around the house for walking sticks. See if there's a walking stick missing.
All right, Ned, but why?
Madvig said he did it with a walking stick, and he said your brother was wearing a hat. There was no hat, and there was no walking stick anywhere near the body.
Is that important?
I'm not sure, but it might have some meaning one way or another.
Yes, we've got to get evidence. We've got to.
Your heart's really in this, isn't it?
Yes. In addition to everything else, Ned, I...
You what?
You know what.
You're glad to be in this with me.
Yes.
Come here, you dirty
little... No, 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 not yet. Not until we've got Madvig.
Stop it. You couldn't keep yourself from coming into my arms, and you know it. Come here.
Yes.
You dirty little traitor.
I'm afraid about you, Ned. I had a dream.
What was it?
We were lost in a forest, you and I. Tired and hungry. We walked and walked until we came to a little house. We tried the door. It was locked. And through a window we could see a huge table piled high with all kinds of food. Then you took a key out of your pocket, gave it to me and left. I was so happy. All I had to do was put the key in the lock, open the door.
Did you do it?
Well, I put the key you'd given me into the lock and turned it. The key broke. It was made of glass.
And that makes you afraid of what I might do to you in real life?
Yes, but...
But I'm the only person that can help you get the goods on Madvig.
Oh, no, not just that, Ned.
I know, but convicting Madvig comes first.
Yes.
All right. You find out about the walking stick and the hat.
I'll find out.
You're sure you want to go through with this?
I want to go through with it more than I ever wanted to do anything in my life.
Well, that's pretty funny.
What is?
You used the same words Madvig used, telling me how much he wants to marry you.
And things are still getting dicey here in the Glass Key.
Yep. Amazing story here. A little bit on the Glass Key, a novel by American writer Dashiell Hammett. It was first published in serial form in Black Mask magazine. It was one of those pulp magazines in 1930. Then it was collected in 1931 in London. The American edition followed 3 months later. It tells the story of gambler and racketeer Ned Beaumont, whose devotion to Paul Madvig, a crooked political boss, leads him to investigate the murder of a local senator's son. There you go.
So, no relation to Hugh Beaumont.
No relation to Hugh Beaumont. There have been two film adaptions of this, 1935 and 1942, a radio adaptation by Orson Welles and the Campbell Playhouse, and a book with a major influence on Coen Brothers' 1990 film Miller's Crossing, which features a similar scenario. And the Glass Key Award is named after the novel, has been presented annually since 1992 for the best crime novel by a Scandinavian writer. I didn't know there was more than one, but there you go.
There you go.
Nothing but facts and fun here on Erie House Radio.
Yes. Well, facts. Spider Baby coming up after our show. Get on over to Horrible Horror Star Garth Gloss. It's one of my favorite public domain movies. You got Lon Chaney Jr., Carol Omart, Sid Haig, a very young Sid Haig.
Yes.
You should have fun with that one.
Yeah, we did. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, we haven't even aired it yet, but it was fun to put together.
And all of the accoutrements supplied with Horrible Horror starring Garth Ghoul.
Accoutrements.
Find out the time and location and all that fun. Just go over to Facebook and type in Horrible Horror starring Garth Ghoul, and you'll find everything.
Yep.
Good on twitch.tv. Yep.
Do it.
Yeah,
do
I
it now.
Remember the name.
Well, not now.
Do it now. No, do it now. He's not on yet. He's here.
Yeah.
Well, he's not all here, but... No. Yeah.
Yeah, even when he's all here, he's not all here.
That's right.
No. Yeah.
And we like him that way.
No. Yeah. No.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Fantastic story. We're coming close to figuring out who the actual killer was.
And we're going to find that out right now as we wrap up The Glass Key from Studio One, plus perhaps some bonus material.
Ned had what he wanted. He had Janet working with him. Now he'd be able to get into her house. He'd even be able to talk to her father, and he lost no time. Of course, the senator would never have seen him if Janet hadn't arranged it. She phoned Ned and told him to come to the house the next day, and he was there ahead of time.
Hello, Ned.
Hello, Janet.
I'm sorry I kept you waiting.
It's okay. I've been getting acquainted with your ancestors up there on the wall. Where did those crusty old buzzards ever get you? You found out anything?
Yes. Taylor's hats are all here, and so are the walking sticks. So you see Paul Madvig lied.
Seems like it.
He was just trying to make it look like self-defense.
That's right. Why couldn't you have called me last night?
He asked me to marry him. Madvig was here with me.
How did you handle that?
I said it was too soon after my brother's death for us to be engaged, but I didn't say we couldn't be a little later, so we've got what I believe is called an understanding.
You're really a dirty fighter, aren't you?
Do you know any other way to fight?
What a spot Madvig would be in if you loved him as much as you hate him.
Don't say that. Don't ever say that again.
All right. It looks as if we're winding things up, but let's have your version. What happened in this house the night Taylor was killed?
Taylor and Paul Madvig quarreled, and after Madvig left, I went to my room. I wasn't there when Taylor ran out after Paul, but my father told me about it when he came to my room late that night and let me know that Taylor had been killed.
I think your father's more interested in the election than who murdered his son.
No, no.
And why does he stay friendly with Madvig?
You're beastly.
Maybe. But you and I will never hang Paul Madvig unless we get your father to tell us what happened after you went to your room that night. You suppose you can talk to him?
He's in his study now.
Let's go.
Well, Beaumont, what brings you here?
Father, we have something to tell you. Well, go ahead, Ned.
What we've got is pretty strong evidence, including a confession, Senator, that Paul Madvig killed your son.
What is this pretty strong evidence?
He says your son ran out after him that night and tried to hit him with a walking stick. But Madvig took the walking stick from him and killed him with it. Says he burnt the stick, but your daughter says it's still here.
It is. All the walking sticks are here.
So?
Well, sir, if your son didn't have the stick, that'd blow up his story about it being self-defense.
He killed him, Dad. Paul Madvig killed him.
Is there any other evidence?
Well, there's stuff to back this up, but you've got the main story now.
That's enough, isn't it?
Quite enough.
Well, Father?
I can't believe it, yet it seems to be so. If you'll excuse me for a moment, I should like to be alone.
But, Father...
I should like to go to my room. Excuse me.
Look here, Janet. Is he likely to fly off the handle? Is he likely to go dashing off hunting for Madvig?
I don't know.
We can't let him do it. There's no telling what would happen. Senator Henry. Just a minute, Senator.
You would please excuse me. I must go out.
Don't go, Father. Listen to Mr. Beaumont.
I have listened to Mr. Beaumont. I'm acting now on what he told me.
You mean you're going after Madvig? You're going to kill him?
Mr. Beaumont, I cannot bear the thought of my son's murderer walking around free and unpunished.
And why don't you give yourself up?
What?
I said, why don't you give yourself up? You and I both know that you killed your son, Senator. I've taken him away, Janet.
Get out of here.
Nope. I'll stick around a while.
My father didn't do it. You know he did.
Yes, he did.
This is what you've been working for, isn't it? You said you'd help me. Came to me and said you would help, and all you were looking for...
All I was looking for was the murderer of Taylor Henry. I found him.
You framed him.
I would have framed him, but I didn't have to. I'd have framed you. I'd have framed anybody to save Madvig.
Dirty, rotten...
Dirty, am I? What about you? What were you doing to Madvig? Letting him hold your hand, letting him make love to you, leading him on, letting him think he could marry you. while you were trying to get evidence to put him in the death house.
Yes, and I'll get it yet. I won't let you do this thing to my father.
You haven't any choice. He killed his own son, and he'll die for it. And you're going to have to take it and like it.
I'll prove my father didn't do it, and I'll prove Madvig did, and that you knew it all the time. And I'll come and laugh when they strap you to the electric chair.
Listen, Janet. Listen to some cold facts.
Get away
now.
From me.
Now you're going to listen. Go ahead and slap. But listen anyway. Taylor ran out after Madvig that night, taking a walking stick with him and wearing a hat. That was bad. Madvig might get mad. He might withdraw support from your father. When your father thought of what might happen to his chances of being reelected, he ran after Taylor. He got the walking stick away from Taylor. A man as big as Madvig could handle a little jerk like your brother. Your old man came up and Madvig handed the walking stick to him. But your old man was still thinking of how Taylor might ruin his chances in the election.
Oh, no.
So your old man took the walking stick, Janet, and he lifted it high with both hands, and he brought it down with all the force he had on your brother's head. And Madvig, Madvig was so much in love with you that he told your old man to go home and forget the whole thing. And your old man did. You know why? You know why he let your brother lie there like a bundle of bones? Because it was good politics. Because if he didn't do it, he might lose the election. Just stop to think that Madvig covered up for your father all this time. Stop to think that your father was going to get rid of Madvig so he couldn't talk. And then slap me around. Okay, I've had enough. Here's one for you.
Oh.
How do you like that? Janet. Janet, hey. Take it easy.
Shivering. I feel awful.
I'll hold you.
Ned,
I'll hold you. Take it easy, baby.
Don't let me go.
I'll take care of you, Janet.
I still hate you.
But you love me.
But I love you.
You'll be all right.
What's going to become of me? What's going to happen to me?
Now, quiet, baby. I'll take care of you. You're going to stick with me.
Yes, Ned. Yes, darling.
Oh. Hello, Madvig. Come in.
Packing, Ned?
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I don't know.
Ned.
What?
I came to tell you that you were right, and I know it now.
That's okay, Madvig.
I'd like to think that whether you went or stayed, that you weren't holding anything against me, Ned.
I'm not holding anything against you, Madvig.
Shake hands with me?
Certainly.
Oh, Ned, don't go. Ned, stick it out with me. I need you now. I've always needed you, and I want to make up for...
You haven't got anything to make up for with me.
You'll stay, Ned?
I can't, Madvig. I gotta go.
Well, serves me right.
That's got nothing to do with it.
Well, then I don't get it. Janet.
Hello, Paul.
Well...
I don't know what to say either.
I didn't expect this. I... I guess the wind has knocked out of me.
I've done you a lot of harm, Paul. I don't know how to apologize.
Oh, now, don't talk that way, Janet.
Madvig, listen.
I've arranged for your father's defense, Janet.
Please, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Madvig?
Yeah, Ned?
Janet isn't going to marry you. There's another guy.
Who?
Me.
Well, now, wait a minute. She
wants to, Madvig.
Yes, Paul, I do.
Well, lots of luck to both of you. You dirty heels. Sorry. I didn't mean that. Bye.
Ned. I feel rotten.
Well, how do you think I feel? Come on. Let's us get out of here, too.
From Studio One at CBS, you have just heard Miss Alyssa Landy and Mr. Alan Baxter starring in Fletcher Markle's production of The Glass Key by Dashiell Hammett. Another of the world's great stories from radio's celebrated playhouse of dramatic entertainment. Tonight's script was prepared by Robert Senadella, and the original musical score was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Now again, Mr. Markle.
May a producer identify the principals in our cast tonight. In the foreground of Mr. Hammett's little excursion into the underworld of nearly 20 years ago...
Ned Beaumont.
...was played, of course, by Mr. Baxter.
Janet Henry.
...was played by Miss Landy.
Paul Madvig.
...was Everett Sloan.
Shadow Rory.
...was Charles Irving.
Opal Madvig.
...was Catherine McGregor.
Senator Henry.
...was played by Robert Dryden. Joe DeSantis played Rusty. Betty Kane and Gregory Morton were Mr. and Mrs. Matthews. Hedley Rennie was Whiskey. And Miriam Wolfe, Mantle Kramer, Don Briggs, John Merlin, and Louis Quinn were heard in active assistance. Next week from Studio One, our story is from the classics. And it's a very wonderful story. Jane Austen's exquisite and evergreen romance, Pride and Prejudice. As for our star, we look forward to another sparkling performance from Hollywood's Miss Geraldine Fitzgerald. We hope you'll be with us. And now until next week, until Geraldine Fitzgerald stars in Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, this is Fletcher Markle with a good night and thank you from all of us in Studio One.
Program you won't want to miss. That's Play Ball, the next production of the famed CBS documentary unit. 1 week before the opening of the 1948 baseball season, Columbia brings you the dramatic biography of a great shortstop, Pee Wee Reese. CBS director of sports, Red Barber, will take you on a behind-scenes tour of the baseball world. Listen to Play Ball over many of these same stations Saturday, April 17th, from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Lee Vines, and this is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ah, that Dashiell Hammett, another great story for us to play here on Erie House Radio.
Yep, and it is possible with all the confusion and all the things going on that maybe it is possible to still yet learn something else from this story.
I should have anticipated this. Erie House Radio proudly presents A Garless Moral of the Story.
Yes, apologies to Gar. A glass key, like a heart, is easily broken. It's best if it's metal, but a metal heart is only good for a tin woodsman. There you go.
I love this song.
Gotta hear the beat, 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 gotta hear the beat.
They don't write them like that anymore, Dave. A song that really says something.
Yeah, but I'm not quite getting the message there, Dale. Maybe
I know. Maybe we can figure it out. Let's try.
Gotta hear the beat.
I get the sense he wants something. He wants something.
Yeah, something, but I don't think it's quite clear exactly what he's reaching for.
Maybe if we listen a little bit more, we can get it.
Gotta hear the beat, 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 gotta hear the beat.
It's a damn good song.
And it's got a catchy beat to it, you know?
It does. I sense some urgency here.
Yeah, and it seems to be getting more urgent as we go along.
Yeah.
Is there an animal jack here?
Yeah, he's in Studio B and he's tearing it apart. Get him out of here.
Animal Jack, you've got to come with us. You can have all the beats you want and we're going to take you. You've got to go with us. Come along peacefully. Come on, Animal Jack, let's go. Come along peacefully. Come on, Animal Jack.
Hold
him. Grab him. Grab him, let's go. Get him out of here.
Get the chains.
Get the chains on him. Grab him. He's getting worse. Grab him. Calm down, Animal Jack. You've got to go with us.
You got to admire his determination, if nothing else.
He's determined. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if we can only figure out what he really wanted, we'd be all set.
We'll never know. We'll never know. It's one of those mystery songs, you know? It's like playing a Beatles song backwards or something.
Yeah.
Or what was Manfred Mann? What did he really say?
If you do, which one is it? The meter made one, you know, I think it comes back that the yogurt is not good for you. I think that's what it comes out as.
Yeah, ice cream is, but not yogurt.
Ice cream is the answer. Sorry. Ice cream is the answer.
It is the answer to everything. It is the secret to world peace.
The
and yet our leaders... Our leaders will not come to the realization.
I think some leaders don't want world peace. Ice cream would do it, and we know it.
It's not even a secret
here.
Oh yeah, we do.
Yeah.
In fact, if you wanted to come in here, say for example, and wanted to spin the wheel o radio, or maybe contribute a wooden nickel into our jukebox o fun, you can dial us. At, what's our number? 646-378-0264. Spin your rotary dial carefully.
Yeah, but hurry because we only have just so much time left in this wonderful 90-minute program that we had. It's been, it was a very, very good story, a very impressive story, well written, well adapted, and well acted.
Definitely a well-crafted tale, and would we expect anything less from Dashiell Hammett? Probably not.
No.
Probably.
No, absolutely not. So, yep.
You're making me a real fan of him. I didn't even know who he was until I started working with you, Dave.
We got a caller.
Oh, my goodness. Gosh, oh, gee, who could it be? Welcome. Thanks for calling into Erie House.
Well, thank you so much. It's just me, CW here, and just so happens I have a freshly minted wooden nickel.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, well, if you wouldn't mind inserting into the jukebox, let's see what comes out.
Here we go. There we are. Oh, that's good.
Hmm.
with a wiggle, and you talk with a wiggle, and your jeans are a-jiggling the dough. Well, that's the way it ought to be, but you can see I haven't got a quarter. I walk with a wobble, and I talk with a wobble, and the jinx is a-hobbling my luck. I'll have to touch the feathers of a very, very lucky duck. I lost my gal to another guy, and I lost my money at the track. I hocked my coat just the other day, and I know I'll never get it back. Oh, lady luck can't get no meaner, and the days can't get no leaner. Got to go where grass is greener, that's what I want to see. Then I'll walk with a wiggle, and I'll talk with a wiggle, and my jeans will be jiggling with dough. And that's the way it ought to be. A fella really ought to have a quarter. I'll chase every wobble, and I'll chase every hobble of the jinx that's been gobbling my luck. Cause I'll have touched the feathers of a very, very lucky duck. And I'll talk with a wiggle, and my jeans will be jiggling with dough. And that's the way it ought to be. A fella really ought to have a quarter. I'll walk every wobble, and I'll chase every hobble of the jinx that's been gobbling my luck. Cause I'll have touched the feathers of a very, very lucky duck. If you can touch the feathers of a lucky duck.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
This Memorial Day, we salute you, Mr. Gasoline Barbecue Starter.
Mr. Gasoline
Barbecue Starter.
Never mind charcoal chimneys and easy lighting briquettes. The only way to start a real barbecue is with a gallon of 93 octane and a big book of matches.
Light up the sky.
Who needs eyebrows? You're hungry, and you've got 7 pounds of lamb shanks ready to go.
That's a lot of kebabs.
You don't just defy convention. You defy warning labels and common sense.
Very low IQ.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, oh prince of the pyrotechnics, because no one makes a backyard mushroom cloud like you.
Mr. Gasoline Barbecue Starter.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, Cartersville, Georgia.
Yep.
You gotta love the guy in the background that just throws a little added.
Yep.
Low IQ.
Yep.
Next thing you know,
he's got to hear that beat. You know, you got to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Now, it was a fun little Phil Harris song. I walk with a wiggle too, but it has nothing to do with it. It has something to do with bad knees more than anything.
To say nothing that I think a duck would not appreciate you messing around with him.
Yep.
But.
Well, that almost wraps up July. Next week, I think you'll like this, CW, and hopefully all of our listeners will. We're opening up the drive-in once again, and this time it's William Powell, is it not?
Yes, William Powell birthday drive-in bash, radio drive-in bash, yep.
Yeah.
We got three Screen Directors Playhouse, and then on Sunday we have a Lux Radio Theater with a story that Dale recently experienced.
My Man Godfrey.
Man Godfrey, yes.
I love that movie. I love that. That is a cute story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, with Carol Lombard in there. That is
yep.
a hoot.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be one-way passage, and the senator was indiscreet on Friday, and we'll do the My Man Godfrey for the Sunday.
Yep, and Love Crazy as well. Two of the three... Love Crazy also had Myrna Loy. The senator was indiscreet. She probably isn't there. She was just at a cameo. Didn't happen, but that would have been the last film that they actually appeared in together.
And we'll see you next week, Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Bye-bye.
The castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in Frankenstone.
Should I come with anyone?
Don't come alone.
Got it. Thank you, Vincent.
There you go.
Nice. Nice little ending.
Yeah.
Somewhat on time.
Actually made it for a change. Yeah, we got the whole thing in.
Yeah, and Blog Talk didn't blank out the audio.
Well,
yeah,
sometimes that's poor timing on my part, but then sometimes the poor timing is not necessarily my fault. As Dave will attest, the timer
the timer is never correct. And then they give him a 1 minute warning that he doesn't hear anything until like 5 seconds before he goes off the air or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the British lady that
not
like
very yeah.
If you've ever called in early, I think you have CW. You know the British lady that gives you the warning? Only I can hear her when time is running out. And she jumps from a 1 minute warning to like a 10 second warning.
Good heavens. That's not quite cricket, is it?
Not quite cricket, no.
But
it's more like dodgeball.
Oh, God.
It is in many cases. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I had a good soundbite from Dodgeball. I don't have it handy. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, that was great.
Dodgeball hurts even when you are using a regular ball.
Oh,
you
I know.
Came up with that psycho game.
That red ball of death that left a welt on you for like a month.
Gosh.
Yeah, I was never good at catching it, but I was good at dodging it. So, except that line kept getting closer and closer, and only you know.
Yeah. That's when the really big kids got brutal, man. They would wind up and let you have it.
Yep.
Yeah, the good old days.
Mm. Yeah, I just said I wasn't gonna play anymore, and said if you got a problem with it, call my mother.
Ooh,
they didn't want to do that.
I tried that once, but I was 32, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I don't want to do this at work. You can call me.
And if William Powell isn't enough, we're saluting a very famous lady the week after that.
Oh yeah.
It'll be the 119th anniversary of the Lizzie Borden murders.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And we got some stories there.
Yeah, we got an axe to grind. We're doing a hatchet job.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chop
it's
chop.
It's a sharp.
You know, it's just one of those. It's one of those great mysteries of life as to who actually did it, and most people believe she did. There are a lot of people that didn't believe she had anything to do with it, and I think that's why we're looking at that, especially on actually, we're doing the Mystery Theater on Friday for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one that looks at all the different people that may have done it. And
it was suicide.
Then we got, so we have two stories. That leaves us two stories for next year on the two different stories on the 120th. Edition or 120th anniversary of the Lizzie Borden murders is what they call them. Lizzie Borden.
It was an accident. He slipped and the axe just went flying all over the place.
That's what you get. Your mother tells you don't leave your toys lying around. Somebody will fall over.
not to suggest one way or the other. It's so many years after the fact and. Crime solving wasn't what it is today. They didn't have the tools. It would have been difficult, I think, to pin something on somebody. And she did get off the hook, obviously.
That's why it's interesting. The Mystery Theater is kind of a look today at what happened back then.
Yeah.
So it should be.
In fact, You must remember that women were considered so delicate. At least
yep.
in that part of the country at the time. The other part where the West was still not 100% open, you had Belle Starr, you had Calamity Jane, you had all variety of other women out there who were drinking and smoking and shooting and riding. But
as they should.
There you are. I'm lighting up an old stogie as we speak. But the fact of the matter is...
It's not a Philly blunt, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. There's another sign there. There's another sign there that says no phone, no pool, no pets, you know.
So. Yeah, there you are.
There you go.
But in there, back east, where this occurred, everything was refinement. You know, the Quaker, the Yankee, as it were.
Well, we weren't too far removed, or perhaps still in the Victorian era as well, which bled over into the States.
Yeah,
well, especially
anyway.
New England area states, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and one would think, you know, oh, well, she was wearing a corset. No woman could do it. Yeah, if a woman can plow of the back 40 in a corset, which a lot of them did because Sears catalog was selling it to them, yeah, she could chop
yep.
up both her folks.
Absolutely. But, I remember first learning something of Lizzie Borden in the having seen the film with Elizabeth Montgomery, who did a great job in it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the real life Lizzie Borden was not the looker Elizabeth Montgomery was, that's for sure.
She was not.
She was not what you would call a handsome woman, or what I would call anyway.
Are there any photographs of done during that time where anybody looks good? I mean,
very
few. Very rare,
there are some.
Because you had to stand there for how long?
Yeah.
Yeah, you almost had to be in this this brace type thing and sit there for so long, depending on the light that you had around you, before you could take that picture. Nobody could be comfortable. Nobody.
And speaking of uncomfortable, at least by today's standards, is also during that era when someone died, they actually sold things to prop up your dead relatives for photos, for family
yeah.
photos. There's some people who collect photos of this, and I mean some of them are pretty morbid with children, and you can just tell they've been gone for more than a minute, you know? Oh, it's very sad at the same time, but...
Yeah,
well,
I mean, Ozzy Osbourne is weird, you know?
Yeah. And they talk about, you know, odd traditions. Well, back then, also, it wasn't unusual to have the death mask made after they were dead.
Yes.
And,
that's right. I forgot about that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And yeah. should we be surprised?
Yeah.
I mean, 2,000 years ago, we were mummifying people. So what the hell?
I guess so. Take a picture.
What's an old death mask between friends?
Yeah. Now, of course, you say, oh, well, can I have their iPhone? They aren't going to use it. Okay, here, take a selfie. There you go. Okay.
There's plenty of those around, too. Selfies, like, just before somebody does something extremely foolish, like fall off a building.
Oh, God, yes. Someone
those are awesome.
Off a building. Oh, yeah. Someone's following and saying, wow, get likes on Twitter for this.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't I
you
have
got,
a,
you got your
have
15
death...
minutes there, buddy. Splat.
Did I have one of those Dave facts where more people died from selfies than mm-hmm. from shark bites or something like that?
Yeah.
Shark bites, lightning strike, slipping on a bar, soap in the tub.
Yeah,
and the human race is getting smarter.
No, we're just getting smarter phones. Smarter phones.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, it's really smart to pick a fight in an airplane 30,000 feet straight up.
Yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah.
You can only carry that fight
so
long. It's so far. There's not too many places to go.
I got rid of my smartphone and I got a smart ass phone. It answers, what do you want?
A smart ass phone.
from Apple. You've got
Well, I'll have to remember
phone.
That one.
Here's your
I'll have to remember that line.
That's okay. I got a smart-ass TV. I'm going to tell Mrs. K what you were just watching. I was just scanning
the
blackmails. You were there for 30 minutes.
The TV, the blackmails. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, soon to follow, your smart fridge. Step away from the rocky road. Step away.
That's when the baseball bats come out.
That's a mean fridge. That's a mean.
You better be a Terminator fridge, pal, because you're about to. You're not getting between me and the rocky road. I'm sorry. Sometimes world peace comes at a cost.
Yeah, day my fridge starts talking to me, I'm changing my name to Sarah Connor.
There you go.
There I go.
Man, she was one tough chick in those movies.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
She was a tough girl.
I wonder, who would be the best one to have on your team? Would it be Sarah Connor? Would it be Ellen Ripley from Alien? Would it be...
That's a good one.
Oh, don't forget Vasquez from Aliens 2. Let's rock! Yeah!
There you go.
Yeah!
Vasquez, she was tough. She was tough. I like the bandana. Yeah.
That was...
I was thinking maybe Tank Girl. No. Tank Girl.
Tank Girl.
I like Tank Girl. I like Tank Girl. I don't know. Let's see. If we're going for science fiction, I can't remember the actress.
Lara Croft, perhaps.
But in
Lara Croft. Yeah.
The scientist in Alien versus Predator, she went down to the Arctic with them. She was great. I can't remember her name.
I guess if I'm going for the win, I'd have to go with Supergirl.
Supergirl.
Supergirl's on your side. Yeah. You got pretty good odds. Pretty good odds.
I don't know. Miss Marvel. Captain Marvel.
Yep. Especially
Kryptonite
the old comics version.
Her. Yep. Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course,
Wonder Woman.
Absolutely.
She was too tough for Scarlet Witch. She was too tough for that damn Frederick Wortham. It rotten. Killjoy.
Yeah.
That's the guy who wrote that Seduction of the Innocent book, trying to bring. Well, he did bring down EC Comics as well as some other titles.
Oh yeah. Him.
Dirty hatred. Don't mention his name around Gar. Gar sees red.
He sees
red. He likes comic books as much as I do. And
how many comic books are put on a pyre who now they can pay for a couple of houses?
And it's a shame because during the war, the Second War, they became very popular among servicemen too.
They had those few free moments. Yeah. Between dodging bombs and bullets, you can see what Wonder Woman's doing.
And quite frankly, it was part of American propaganda. Some of the covers people find quite offensive now in our depictions of the enemy. I don't think they're rushing to Hitler's aid so much as the depiction of the Asians. And
yeah, they went way... I understand why, but yeah, they went way overboard. Nazis, that was one thing. Go for it. But
because it's not a nationality so much as an idealism that we were against, I think. Maybe it wouldn't have been so bad with the Asians if they had picked on someone in particular, like Hirohito or something. But it seemed to be just a general stereotype that they always portrayed.
Yeah, they did all Asians across the board, which was wrong.
Yeah, that was not cool. That was
not
cool.
At all. But thinking of tough dames, in the spy biz, who would I want? Mrs. Peel or perhaps Salt from
Diana Rigg.
Spy
Flick. Just so I can
Diana
get those
Rigg.
Late kicks going. There you go. What was her name in that show?
Emma Peel.
Oh,
Emma Peel, yes. Yes.
Yeah, Mrs. Peel, we're needed. Perhaps, and who was before her? It was Honor Blackman, Kathy Gale. Now,
yeah,
those
episodes never made the U.S. They didn't get here until the Diana Riggs episodes.
Yeah.
And they were all in black and white, I think.
I believe so.
Yeah. Kathy Gale, a.k.a. Oh, Pussy Galore.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And she actually learned judo. She actually earned a definitive
judo belt. Chop.
Judo chop. Yeah.
Yeah, baby. Oh, my God. Those Austin Powers movies are funny. Too funny.
Yep.
I know.
Who
John wants. I can't
Beyonce
remember her name, though.
Character.
Candy something?
Candy
Matson. That's who Dave would want on his side. Candy Matson.
Oh, for a radio detective. Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Oh,
yeah.
There you are.
For a tough female.
She was much tougher than Miss Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. There was a Miss Sherlock Holmes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Okay. Did not know
that. Yeah. Only for radio.
I know Sherlock Holmes dressed up as a woman in one of the films, though. Oh, which one was it? He dressed up as an old lady. He even had Watson fooled. Which one was it? Not the woman in green with the Dress to Kill. It was actually called Dress to Kill.
Oh, wow.
With Basil and Nigel.
I do know there was a Sherlock Holmes story where he is actually confounded by an actress who dresses up as a man, and it took him. He didn't realize it at the time. She bested him in that.
I'm sorry. It was Meet Miss Sherlock. It was Meet Miss Sherlock. I'm sorry.
Miss Sherlock.
And we did play that on our Lady Dicks weekend.
Yes, we had Lady Dicks one weekend. And I think Candy Matson was one of them.
Yeah.
Candy Matson and Meet Miss Sherlock and Phil Cole. Phil Cole. And
yep.
There we go.
Wow. Has anyone seen Enola Holmes?
Not lately.
Wait, is she missing?
Movie? That is really very well done. It's Enola Holmes. It's with Helena Bonham Carter. And you have, I forgot the actor who plays Mycroft, and the actor who plays Sherlock is Henry Cavill, Superman, the guy from Superman and Witchcraft. I think it's, what is that series he's doing? I don't know. I don't watch it.
I don't know, but when you mentioned Superman, something just kind of blew my mind. I never sat down and watched The Phantom Creeps. Well, Pluto TV's been running a bunch of MST3K movies. They have an MST3K channel, and Phantom Creeps was on, and I did not know this, but Steve Reeves is in it. I mean, George Reeves. Yep. I mean, you know, he's unmistakable once you know him from Superman. But
that was
Bela
Lugosi film. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, with that crazy robot.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think Rob Zombie owns that robot, if I'm not mistaken. If not, he's got a hell of a replica used in one of his videos.
Wow. Well, George Reeves I still have to look for him in those few scenes he has in Gone with the Wind.
Oh, yeah, he did have a few scenes in there.
He did?
Yeah, because they colored his hair red. The twin. He was one of the twins.
Hmm.
Fraternal twins, but they made him the best they could to make him look as much as possible, yeah.
I wonder
they
if they'll ever know what happened with
anymore.
Him. I wonder if they'll ever know what happened to George Reeves.
That's another Hollywood mystery.
Well, you know, a good view on that is in... You can find it on YouTube. It's Mysteries and Scandals and George Reeves. They really covered that really well. It is not. There's no way with the kind of injuries inflicted on him and on the parts of his body that it was a suicide. But from what I took from that particular show, George Reeves was a wonderful guy with the ladies. And
yes.
He happened to pick up a mobster's girlfriend or wife. And, what could go wrong there?
I don't know.
Even...
Well, she was on the outs with the mobster, but I don't think the mobster either realized it or cared. I saw that. I've watched a good deal about the George Reeves mystery.
That would make sense. Do you remember Lana Turner and that, what's his name, Johnny Stompanato?
Yes. That's another
Well, Sean Connery got into a thing because he was in some restaurant just starting his career, and someone told him, you need to leave town because who you just got into a thing with, and he left the country. He got out. Which was smart. But I guess George Reeves didn't take it seriously. That would make a lot of sense.
Because he also had a lot of things to look forward to. Yeah, he wasn't really looking forward to being forced to do another season of Superman. But on the other hand, he was also set to direct several episodes of that. Plus, he was set to direct his first sci-fi movie that was not made for television, it was made for theaters. And even brought back the first gal that was the Lois Lane to co-star in that film. So he had a lot going for him. What he didn't have going for him, who he was, fooling around with. That was not going well for him.
Yeah. I mean, there was nothing that anyone had any inkling about, he was – had some sort of a health issue that the doctor told him you only have 6 months left. I'm sure we would have heard about that by now.
Yeah.
After all the digging. Yeah. So
that's easy to fix too. Don't pay your doctor. He'll give you another 6 months.
That's a terrible thing though. Kids thought a Superman is indestructible. They must have been extremely saddened by it. It's very sobering and
It would be.
In some cases, childhood's lost, For those kids that really love Superman.
Yeah, but they always have the comic books, so.
True. Bob Crane's another one. Ugh.
He was a element of his own demise. I mean,
there was a dark side to him. Yes.
Quite
a dark
really
side.
Wrong. And a lot of points there.
Yeah. And just. When you hang around certain types of people, you might want to not be too surprised when bad things happen.
Exactly. And Thelma Todd.
Yeah.
Supposedly did away with herself. Not. I don't think she did. I think someone did away with her.
Yeah. And, of course, let's not even talk about Marilyn Monroe. You can go so many different ways with that.
That is a conundrum in a mystery in a puzzle.
Yes.
All wrapped up.
Masked by a Sudoku.
Of course. No kidding.
Yep.
Oh, and the big one, the first one is, what's his name?
Fatty Arbuckle.
Director. Fatty Arbuckle.
Oh, that one too,
But also the director.
Oh, gosh. What the heck
Taylor,
is his name?
Desmond Taylor something.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, that guy was into a lot of different stuff. Casting Couch.
Didn't he have Mob Connections, too, or something like that?
Not really.
Possibly.
He just lied about his origins. I don't think he was even an American citizen.
Why?
You don't have to be an American citizen to be a part of the mob, lady.
That's for sure.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, they don't exactly card you in that way. Although they do want to see a birth certificate and make sure whether you're fully a Sicilian or not.
Because
they want to trace your family back to the roots, man.
Yeah, yes, there's nothing like a good conspiracy to keep you up at night.
I know. It's fun, fun, fun. Well, got me some puppy wrangling, I'm sure.
Yep. Well, hey, CW, thanks for calling in and being part of this and for doing us the honor of what you do every night at this time that you're here.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for permitting me to partake.
You add to the show, and we appreciate your insights on the various topics that we bring up here. And
for not beating us up too much for our political incorrectness at times.
Yes.
Oh, certainly. Just pay no attention to that aluminum baseball bat in the corner.
Oh, or like a Nagin bat. Nagin bats are fun.
Oh, yeah, there you are.
Wrapped in barbed wire.
Said, oh, barbed wire, and don't forget the nails. Don't forget the nails.
Yes, gotta have nails.
Oh, do I hear the tinkling on the... And the keys of
the ivory?
The one,
the
one, the only, Mr. Durante. Oh, are you there?
Good night. Hello? Good night. Good
night. Yes.
Night. It's time to say good night. Good night. What more to say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the same, and ink-a-tink-a-doo. Good night. Good night. Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
I got mail! Yay!